morning, everyone. It's time for us to begin. Our first song selection this morning is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. If you're following along with the songbook, it's on page 193. 193.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you today that we have the opportunity to come together to worship you, to study your word, to learn more, to give you honor and praise and glory. And we hope that the things that we do today is pleasing to you in every way. Be with those that are not with us today, that are not feeling well. Be with James Oliver and help him to feel better, to overcome his illness, and any others that may be suffering in that way. But bring us together always so that we can come together to worship you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may pass to your classes. Class.
I don't want to do something. Whatever. Good morning, everyone. We're still in chapter 17 of Acts, and I would like to for everybody to turn there. We're going to start off with verse 16, where we left off on Wednesday night. I hope that the Acts study that we've been doing has been as inspirational to you as it has to me. I've mentioned this before, but you know, when you study things on your own, to teach a class is more inspiring to me than just a study on your own, because you actually have to look a little deeper and think about what is actually going on a little bit instead of just reading it. So we're going to do that today. We're going to consider what is being said, and then as we consider that, we'll discuss it. Verse 16. James, can I get you to read from 16 to 21 for me, please?
Acts chapter 17,
yes, sir.
16 to 21.
Yes, sir.
Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
You know, when I first read this, it's not the first time I've read it, but it just, you think different. That's why I started out with what I did. You think a little bit different. And it said that when Paul waited for them, the Athenians, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. So my question is, before we get too depth here, is why would that provoke him?
Because it upset him, that he saw so much false things going on.
So why would he be upset in the first place? He's a Christian.
He's upset for what they're learning and being taught.
Has he been here before? To this location?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did either. But when we get deeper into this, you know, they're going to have an idol to the unknown God. And he'll talk about that more when we get down past verse 22. But so it provoked him. And the reason I brought that out is because when he was Saul, he was provoked a lot by the Christians because he thought they were doing wrong. And my point is that no matter where we're at and what stage we're at, patience is very, very good before we say something we shouldn't. And though he was provoked, he didn't really say anything out loud just yet at verse 16 because he saw it and thought, oh my goodness, what in the world are they doing here? And, you know, he's trying to preach Christianity, which is in spirit, and they're worshiping idols. So he's probably not happy because he has been preaching in the area, and I am sure that this has got back to this area and has been mentioned of what Paul's doing. Because let's read 1 Corinthians real quick before I go on to say more. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Where is the what? No, that's 20. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it's pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Okay, since Corinthians says that, by seeing all these idols, we know that these individuals in this area believed in a God. Okay, these were religious people. I say that lightly because you can be religious and be totally going the wrong direction. And that's what these people are doing here. Even though they believed in God, but they believed in different gods. And, you know, as I see it here, as the religion of them, they want to make sure that they're doing things right. So they had many, many things that they worshipped. And as we'll talk in a little bit about the unknown God, they was even worshipping him or giving him a place there. And, you know, we'll find out how more important that is. I just thought it was important. It was noted that, you know, even those, they're pagans, and they were worshiping. They wasn't worshiping the right one. And in today's society, it's the same thing. They don't always worship the true and living God. There's a lot of people that worship different things. And I mean, we could go through a whole long list, and we've done that in the past. But sometimes it's just a sports or a sports team or a car or whatever. They do that, but also they go down the wrong direction because they're not worshiping the true God in the way that they should, Doug.
In my travels to Arkansas, I saw a sign in front of a church building that said, not a Church of Christ, obviously, but it says, come worship with us. Anything goes.
That's interesting. Anything goes. I have a question since he brought that up. Is that what we're taught in the scriptures, that anything goes?
No.
There's something I heard this week, but I can't bring it up. It's politics. But it's about the same thing if you'd been listening this week of what he's just saying. That's not what it teaches us in the scriptures. These people that claim they're holy are not holy. Just think about it for a minute. If you read the scriptures and understand them the way they're written and not trying to add to or take away from, you can only get one thing out of it. And Doug said, anything goes here at this place that he passed by. If that was the case, then we don't need the Bible, does it?
No.
Not at all. Because if anything goes, those people are lost. Those people are lost. Because that's not what it teaches in the scriptures. Anybody have any comments on 16?
The old King James uses the word stirred there in place of provoked.
Stirred?
Yes. I think most other translations use that word provoked, but the old King James uses the word stirred there. And maybe just some idea, not necessarily that he was that he was emotional about it, but maybe he was, but certainly he saw an opportunity by that. So his spirit said, this is how you are going to address this situation, right? I mean, he had some divine intervention in most of his work, and maybe that's what that means. I don't know.
Well, I think that stirred would be a little bit better, because provoked to me would be getting mad about it. Stir would say that I'm troubled about it. I'm going to do something about it. And so I think that would fit better. That mean that's my definition. I know that many words have a lot of different definitions, but in the way I would use it, that's the way I would use it. So, you know, when you're stirred up about something, hey, I need to do something about this. And Paul did. Let's go on to 17 and 18 here. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews. Now, wait a minute. Have we heard that before? Every time he goes into a new place, he goes to the synagogue first. Why does he go to the synagogue first? Because we already went over that. He went to the Jews first to try to explain to them. You know what? It's really, really hard, and I understand that as we study these things, that it's really hard to change a way that maybe you've been brought up. So these people were brought up in the Jewish system. And so when they heard this, it's new. It's new. Now, when it's new, is it? No. In the scrolls, it mentioned about the Messiah coming. We mentioned that a few weeks ago. He's coming. What the problem is, they didn't accept him when he got here. We could talk about that for a while, but we did already, so we'll go on. I can't pronounce all these words, but the thing that we need to get out of 18 is that he was a babbler. Now, what are they talking about when he says he's a babbler?
Just rambling about various things with no real knowledge of anything. That's what a babbler does. He just speaks without knowledge, and that's what they were accusing him of.
This is correct. Now, when you say that, James, was they right or was they wrong?
They were 100% wrong.
They were 100% wrong. You know, I could stand up here all day and talk to you about this, or this, that I have dealt with for many, many years, and you guys are going, what? Or James can talk to you about engineering things and go, what? You know, you don't have no knowledge of it. Well, these people didn't have any knowledge of Christ, but he was there to teach them. He was trying to teach them. And we have to understand the same thing when we have new people, new converts, that they're not going to understand. And that's why I want to bring out here is that they're not going to understand the what we're talking about. If they're not raised up in the church or don't have any Christian background at all, those individuals will take more time of our time to help them and teach them. And I know that sometimes in the past, I think we have failed at that. And I want to make sure I bring that out, because here in Acts, Paul's being accused of not knowing what he's talking about, that we have to turn that around. So when we do have individuals that come in, they may not know what we're talking about either. And we have to keep them in mind as we teach. And sometimes we may have to be a little bit more basic because they won't have the background. And so I just want to throw that out there, because I think that's a good observation that we need to make sure that we keep in mind for when we start to grow. You notice I said when, not if. This is not an if project, so I'll throw that out there too. You know, we have a lot to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, I see a lot of what we're going to be going through as Paul went through. Not necessarily in the idols, but since they're pagans, they're not believers of God. We're going to run into that too. In fact, we already have. But don't let that discourage you, or don't let it discourage anybody that try to talk to individuals, because the most important thing is that we keep going and going and going. Now, the rest of the verse 18, it says that he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. I have a little difficulty with that there, because he wasn't preaching foreign gods. He was preaching the God.
That was their understanding.
I know that, but my point is that this is why they didn't understand, is because they put here and their understanding as gods, because so they're adding one more to what they're already doing. And that's not the case. The case is the God. And they didn't understand that. They didn't understand that Christ was here for their salvation and that he was resurrected. They didn't understand that. That was foreign to them. That's why I mentioned right before this that we're going to have people that do not understand. We have to have patience. We have to have enough patience to guide them and let them read and let them understand as they're going to have questions. It's just like anybody else as they go through the scriptures. It's questions, questions, questions. How do you pronounce that again, James? Areopagus?
Areopagus,
okay. In verse 19, they took him to and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak?" So at least Paul provoked them enough with what he had to say in order for them to be curious about what he had to say. And does anybody know who this fellow was?
That's not a person.
It's a vocation.
Okay. Because we're getting ready to go into Mars Hill here, but
well, that called Mars Hill in some places.
That's what this was?
I think so.
Okay. All right. good, because that's what I got out of it. So we'll go on. We won't tarry on that for right now. 20 and 21, it says, "For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." Now, you remember I started off and I said they were religious because they had all these idols, even though they were pagans. And they even had one, which we haven't got to that yet, but they even had one to the unknown God. They were provoked enough, stirred up enough, however we want to say it, to want to know more about what Paul is talking about. That's a good thing, isn't it? Because now he's got their ear. Now he's got the opportunity to teach. And that's why we come into Mars Hill in just a few minutes. But, you know, don't you love it? Let me ask this question. Don't you love it when you're talking in the scriptures here and somebody has a question? Because that means they're interested. Most of the time, it means that they're interested in learning more about what's going on. Verse 21, "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in the nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." So that goes along with verse 20 there. But, you know, he stirred them up as he came here. He stirred them up enough that they're wanting to know more. This is good. We need to stir up all the individuals that we have the opportunity to teach and preach to stir them up. I want to know more. Not to beat them overhead with the Bible or the scriptures or anything. It's to get them stirred up enough that I want to learn more. What have I not been doing correctly? What kind of life do I need to lead now? What kind of life do I need to change to? Those are types of questions that we need to stir up the individuals that we can encounter, hopefully, in this next year. David?
The Areopagus and Mars Hill are the same thing.
Okay.
It's called the Areopagus from the Greek standpoint. Remember, this is a Greek area ruled by Romans. You know, Romans are ruling, and so Rome... Ares is the quote god of war in Greek, and the god of war in Rome is Mars. So that's why it's depending on who you're. It's two different groups of people calling the same place different names.
Thank you, David. I did have that, but I forgot. I had it written down, but I don't think it's a little bit later. I have written it down here, but you know, let's think about that a little minute. We're talking about the Romans and the Greeks here. They're two different people. And Paul's preaching to these individuals here. In fact, there's more than that probably. But would you preach to them both the same thing? They're different areas of belief. Would you preach the same thing to them?
Probably.
Well, you would, but you're going about it differently.
Right.
That's all I was getting ready. Paul's going to preach the same thing. He's going to be consistent. But he's going to bring back, he's going to help with the Romans in this way and the Greeks this way. This is what I'm trying to explain here, is that everybody is going to have to need a little bit different background as they come in. That's why we need to get as much information as we can. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm sorry for interrupting. The Romans, when they conquered Greece, they took a lot of the Greek gods and made them their own with different names. So there was an adaption there. Whether they believed the same thing about all of them is unknown, but probably that's what, you know, a lot of where the Romans developed their multi-god worship was from the Greeks.
You said they take them. Now, here, let me understand this for everybody here. They take the Greek and they change it to Romans, or they bring their gods to be a Roman, are they going to have the background that the Greeks had of what that god's about?
Probably.
Not without being taught.
Yeah.
Okay? So here's where I'm going with that. They had to learn something different. if they're going to apply it. If they're going to apply it, they're going to have to learn some of the background. Do they learn all of it? We don't know that. We don't know that. My most important thing here is that we have different individuals, even here in the audience today, that need to understand the exact same thing all the rest of us do. Now, when we have newcomers, I just want to make that clear, they need to understand the exact same thing that we're teaching. And so this program, I believe, is going to teach all of us something, if not a lot. Let's look at this questionnaire again, if you want to. Everybody got a copy of that still? Anybody that needs a copy? Okay. Number 14. What in the world? Oh, here it is. Number 14. The question is asked, how did the city full of idols affect Paul? That's in verse 16 if you want some help to get started here.
Provoked him.
I wrote down, his spirit was provoked. The reason I put that is because, I mean, even though that's what it said, it just didn't say that he was provoked to where he was mad and went and done something wrong. His spirit, so in his inner self. Remember James put, Yeah, and we could put that down too.
Okay. The NIV translates that greatly distressed.
That's another good, I was telling, you know, that provoked you weren't up here, but I believe the other one was a little bit better than the provoked. Question 15. In what two places did Paul reason with the people? Did we read that?
Synagogues in the marketplace.
Yes. What were the names of the philosophers Paul encountered? Thank you. If you want me to hear, I'll have to speak a little louder, Stacy. You're soft. Number 17, what was Paul preaching? These are easy questions. What was he preaching?
Jesus and the resurrection.
Jesus and the resurrection. Where did they take Paul?
Mars Hill.
Yes. Let's see here. Okay, we haven't got to the rest of that yet. So we're down to we're going to start number 22 now, and this is where Mars Hills actually comes in, and it is where okay. I'll read just a little ways. Then Paul stood in the midst of and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through, considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor his worship with men's hands as though He needed anything since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Okay? This is quite extensive. I'm going to break it down here. So, as we've already figured out that Mars Hills is the same. And it, remember, I've already mentioned that they said that they were very religious. And, you know, Paul had to study probably everything that he went through there, most likely. What I mean is that when he went through looking at all these idols, he probably read every name on all of them or knew what they stood for. Because when he gets to the one of them had to script to an unknown God. Now, he might have just seen that. It doesn't really tell. But to the unknown God. And that's where we started at a little bit ago, is that they are even trying. I said trying because the God was, you know, here in the scriptures that we read earlier, it said it was a little g, because it wasn't the true and living God. But Paul is going to let them know who that is. So as Paul mentions him, as he mentions him, he even tries to tell them the God, the unknown God that you're worshiping, is the true and living God. It's the one that made everything. And I am sure that they have stopped by now and said, what? You know, what are you talking about? And I could see why this could stir them up. David?
It's interesting, and Paul's very careful in the language he uses here. You notice he does not say, all these gods you're worshiping. He tells them, I see the objects of your worship. He never calls them gods. He calls them objects. And he's going on to proclaim that the God of heaven, the God, is not an object.
Well, thank you, David. That's true. I was getting ready to say is that he's only pointing out the one and true living God, and he just kind of didn't say much because that would stir people up. If I turn around and said, this, isn't it right? Already you just lost their attention. Because they're worshiping the wind god, the sun god, and all these other gods that they have before them. And so he doesn't focus on what they didn't do right. He was focusing on what they should do right and worship the true and living God. Jamie?
The commentary I looked at this week said that it was documented that there was somewhere around 30,000 idols in that town at that time. And it was a town of only 10,000 people. So that goes to show you the magnitude of how many idols they had around.
Then maybe Paul didn't get to read them all, but he did notice the one that is necessary. I didn't know that. I didn't read that in anything I had read, but that's something you want to think about there. 30,000, and there's only 10,000 there. So they were worshiping multiple individuals, David?
Well, they have a lot of different gods, so they're talking about how many different idols. You think of modern times here, we don't really use that as a object, but if you were in an only Christian area, each house might have a crucifix, although that's not really an offer, we're not to worship objects, but these are symbols of their faith. So in this time, they were polytheistic. They had many gods, right? The god of war, Poseidon, all these different gods. So it wouldn't probably be unusual for a household to have more than one icon of their gods.
Good point, David. I appreciate that. Because
that's a lot. It's 3-1.
Well, they may have probably had more than three in their own household, like you said. When I was going over this, it just surprised me how easily people can be turned the wrong direction and how they will stay that way versus knowing the truth. And so I mention that because We're going to run into that too, on how people are believing this instead of the truth. And so, patience, once again, James.
The Epicureans and the Stoics, I'm not sure, were really looking for truth. They were looking for a good story to tell, more so. It says here in this passage, you know, they were looking for new things to talk about, right? This was the enlightened civilization, right? This is where, you know, poets and artists and philosophers lived. And that was their niche, right? I know something that you don't know, and I can tell you about it. That was something that was a big deal to them. And, you know, Paul used that pretty craftily to tell them the good news about Jesus.
Thank you, James. There's I'm going to read this little section here. It's some of it we've went over, but it may say it a little bit better than what I've been trying to tell you. But this is about the unknown God. They had gone beyond their contemporaries in erecting an altar to the unknown God. No other people or city had thus confessed their ignorance and their devotion. It was a grand conception that erected an altar to the great unknown in the center of the Greek civilization. That was straight from that commentary. And does that tell you about these people? They were trying not to make mistakes.
Yeah.
So when they're not trying to make mistakes, as James mentioned, that they wanted to, hey, there's a story I can tell you here that you haven't heard before, because, you know, I'm sure they were all storytellers, because, you know, you got poets and philosophers and things like that. But where I'm going with that is now they're learning something new, and Paul is showing them that they've already have an idol to the unknown God, but he is the one and true God, as he inspires and talks to them. And as you see in the earlier verses here, that they wanted to know more. They were interested. Now, let's hope they were interested for the right reasons. The right reasons were that they needed God in their life. They needed the true and living God in their life instead of the idols.
James, I think the altar to the unknown God was, you know, just in case there was one that they didn't know about yet. They wanted to not slight him. They wanted him to have an altar to be worshipped at as well. That way he wouldn't be disappointed or you know, cause problems with their harvest or cause problems with whatever it is that was important to them in their lives. They didn't want to miss a God, little g again. So they created this idol, and it was kind of the catch-all. We hadn't heard of this one yet, but if he does exist, we want to worship him too. And
that also includes some others they may not have, but this is what Paul's pointing out, is that the true and living God, like you said, they didn't want to leave anyone out. We also mentioned that they proclaimed to be very religious. So therefore, like you said, James, they didn't want to leave a God out. This has also come, I'm going to read this one too. It came straight from the commentary. In this, Paul proclaimed the unity and creative power of the one eternal God and true God, hailing him as the creator of all things and the Lord of heaven and earth alike. There was absolutely nothing of this conception in the Greek philosophies. Now, here's the question I've got. We read that verse. That was commentary on verse 24. And we've already made a lot of comments about how religious they were. At this point, do you not think that he got their attention when he said that? Because all the others were not claimed to be creators. All the others did not claim to create the world and all that's in it, including man. I mean, I'm sure he talked about all those things because he did inherit in a little bit. So think about that for a second. I guarantee he's caught some of their eyes and some of their minds and saying, wait a minute here. What have we been doing wrong? So it also says that God did not dwell in temples made with hands. He didn't dwell there. He's a spirit. So, you know, this is probably really, really going to get their attention. Let's turn back to Acts 7 for a second. Acts 7 verse 48. And this is where that last part I read, I'll reread it here. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophets say. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is this place of my rest? Has my hands not made all things, all these things? Now, let's see, 49. See, that was taken out of the Old Testament there. So they knew about this, if they really, really searched the scriptures at all. But like we've been talking about, they were pagans by worshiping idols and stuff. So they may not have heard this yet. So therefore, Paul is telling them that what God has done is what you are getting the recipient of. David, did you have something?
I was just saying, they most of these people hadn't heard this before because they were not Jews.
No, but I didn't know. The reason I made that statement is because there might have been some that just wasn't spreading it there. Somebody might have, and they just did not have the, they weren't Paul. So you're right, David. I'd say most of them weren't, but you know, even if they hadn't spread it. We have to understand that if we want to actually worship God, is my opinion here is that do it in His creation. I know we have a building here for the climate, whether it's winter or summer or whatever, for our convenience. But God's is right outside the door here. He's made all of this. So, you know, I know that in the past, it was in teen classes and stuff, that we've went outside where we're in God's country. We're in His presence. I'm not saying we're not in His presence now. That's not what I mean by that, but we can look around as we're teaching the class, and they can see everything that God has made easily.
James, where we started this study today, this morning, there in verse 16, the indication to me in that verse is that the Jews and some of the Greeks, some of the non-Jews, were worshiping together in the synagogue. If the sentence structure found in the New King James is accurate, with the comma placed where it is, that indicates that he's meeting with the Jews and with Gentile worshipers there in the synagogue, and he's also meeting with others elsewhere in the marketplaces. So, I mean, they would have heard of Jehovah God. A lot of these people perhaps did, others didn't, because they weren't assembling perhaps in the synagogues, but the knowledge of the God of heaven, a creative God, would have been somewhat prevalent in that city, just due to the fact that they convened together.
How easily we forget, because we did start out, he went to the synagogue, and the Jews had scrolls that for them to study. Now, whether or not...
Well, the Jews certainly believed that a God, the God, created all things. they just didn't believe that Jesus was his son. That's where they diverged. That's where they diverged from truth. Is they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed in Jehovah God with certainty.
Well, Dave's point here, let's look at it this way. Maybe the pagan had entered into the synagogues more than normal. What I mean by that is that they were probably taking on a lot of practices of the pagan people around them. And that's why they were meeting together. That's a danger for letting something that creeps into any place that's a place of worship that is not God's will. That would be, for instance, we're teaching the truth. If a congregation is teaching the truth, they got to be wary of letting in false doctrines, like you can see all around us in our community and everywhere. But right here, I think this is a good example of that, because the Jews were supposed to be worshipers of God and the Almighty. And it says started here. I know we're going backwards, but I think this is good enough to point out that they were worshiping together. There had to be a lot of paganism there in that synagogue. It just had to be. Now, I know we're guessing, but when you got 30,000, as Jamie said, idols in the town, that's hard for a lot of people to miss.
But the Gentiles could have been converted to Judaism. That's why they were worshiping in the synagogue.
That could be true too. But we don't know. That's the whole point. We don't know. I just think it's a good lesson for us.
We know there were proselyte Jews throughout the whole world, because that's what happened on Pentecost. There were Jews from every nation gathered there to hear that message of Christ. So there definitely were, I don't know about in this particular town, but probably there's synagogues there. That's obviously people that had been converted to Judaism.
Just, Brent, could you ring the bell? We got about a minute or two left. Now, as we mentioned in verse 25, he had proclaimed that that God was the creator of all things. So I guarantee that made him start thinking, are we right? Are we wrong? What do we need to do now? Where are we going from this point on? That's a good thing that we think about things that are taught, because if we don't, we could be led down that wrong pathway. In verse 26, I'm going to read this and we'll be done with this for today. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, has determined their pre-appointment times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Your research for this week is, what does that mean of boundaries? What does it mean from one blood? I think everybody knows. Thank you.
How about pre-appointed times? Does that mean we have a specific time that God has given us?
Research what that means. First thing you did, Nana, are you doing the stuff?
Yeah. Thank you.
No, David did.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I missed. Yeah, that's maybe. So we won't get into nuances later. Yeah. Later on. Yeah. We've been able to do that, yes.
So tonight.
We won't. Team two meets. See, team one. Yeah.
Team two.
Yes, and then next week. So. They will do these two first. And then next week, we get the gift. Well, maybe not, but we should be getting the cross policy on the car. So, and you can have this. So, yeah, yeah. It's hard. I'm trying the best I can.
I
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to thank everybody for coming to worship with us this morning. We have a few announcements that I need to cover. First item here that we have a prayer list and a shut-in list that is extensive that we need to continue to pray for these individuals. We have also James Miller is going to be seeing an individual about a personal issue, so let's hope that he gets good news when he goes and gets evaluated for the issue that he's having. And we are all, I know, have good days and bad days. We just need to be as best that we can, and as we continue to strive to do God's will, be here as often as we can, and not let our earthly bodies as much as possible restrain us. So we have, I know, a lot on these prayer lists that we need to pray for. Some of them are been on there a very, very long time. Upcoming birthdays will be Pearl Hyatt on the 10th, Kim Williams on the 16th, Sandy White on the 19th, and Mike and Melissa Porter's anniversary will be on the 22nd. And also it says a reminder to go to Facebook and follow the church page, follow the shared posts and things like that. This is good for everybody to do that is on Facebook, and we need to spread the gospel as best we can. And as we do these things, we can share them by going on there and having new friends and letting them see what's going on here at Harrisburg. We have a couple of new things that's going to be starting this month. We're actually going to do door greeters again. The Millers will be this month. And pew greeters, which is Teresa and I. So we look forward to doing these new tasks. I know the door greeters isn't new, but we have gotten out of the habit probably because of COVID. And, you know, it's a good habit to be in, so let's see what we can do about that. We have also Deborah Finn. This is a friend of Pearl, over where she lives, passed away this last Thursday, and she would like to have prayers for her family.
She lives in the high rise in the first floor, and they found her passed away in her dwelling place Thursday, and they're having a memorial service at the high rise this afternoon at 2 o'clock in her memory.
Okay. She's at the high rise, so that's where she was living. Back in the foyer on the left, we have a coat room, and I want to request everybody that's got a coat, sweater, whatever's in there that's yours, take it home. You can bring it back later, but we're going to try to clean everything up to make sure that we can start over that way. What is yours is still yours, so please take it home at this time. I know we still need sweaters and things, but please be kind enough to pick up yours and take them home. And then if you need a sweater, you can bring it back when we get the closet cleaned out to where there's some suit jackets and things that's been in there for several years. So we don't want to discard anything that belongs to anybody here. We do not want to get rid of anything that belongs to somebody here. So please pick those things up on your way out. And if you haven't signed up for any of the things that was passed out by James Miller, if you've given it some thought and you want to sign up for those things, please see Doug, and he will get you on the roster to do different things that we have. If you need to see an updated a list of what we are offering for everybody to be involved in, you can also see Doug to see what's there.
There's some still on the table.
Okay. So please, if you're not doing it, especially if you're not doing anything look on there and see if there's something you can help us out with. Now, I think also the ladies that are sending the cards and doing all this work for to invite new individuals and that come to town, that's just not for the ladies. If any of you men want to sign up and help them, that would be fantastic. They do need help. And as we grow doing this, remember this, we're going to need your help anyway. You might as well learn it now while we're learning. Krista?
The men who had signed up for that are now on the list. I have gotten it passed out to everyone, I think, except for one person. Which team? We have a team one and a team two. Team two meets tonight.
Okay. If you have signed up to do those things, there is a list in the back. There is a list of team one and team two. There's also beside that a calendar that they are going to be meeting with team one or team two. So if you have signed up, you probably need to get that calendar so you'll know when to be here for your meetings. We have a lot of work to do. We want to grow the congregation for the Lord's sake. We want to continue this work and strive to reach every soul that is necessary here in Harrisburg. That's where we're going to start with that. Is there any announcements that I've missed that maybe need to be announced at this time? I've laid it down somewhere. I have laid it down. I had it. Is it there in the pew? To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. 694. It's right here in front of me. I just got my glasses changed, so can't blame it on that. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul
never die.
away to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand, and the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dimmed eye, where all is love, and the soul never dies.
David Hutchcraft, would you lead us in a word of evangelism prayer, please?
Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer to ask that we all be strengthened for our new efforts in the evangelism process. We pray that all of our members are strong and keep up the good work that we're pursuing. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the contacts we make will be receptive and open us with open arms. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Our next song selection is 197, Have Thine Own Way. 197. After this, we'll have our opening prayer with Clayton.
Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have
to you, thanking you for the blessing of waking each and every one of us up this morning to see this new day. Again, Father, Lord, I want to just pray for all those that are sick throughout the land, especially those, Lord, that are just homebound and just sick and can't get out. Lord, just praying, if it be your will, go by, touch them, heal them where they're hurting, and build them up where they're torn down, strengthen them where they're weak. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those, Lord, just around the world that's traveling. Lord, just praying that you give them all traveling grace to and from their destination, if it be thy will. Again, Father, Lord, want to just continue praying for the things that the church is trying to do here, that it'll be a success, Lord, that is draw more souls to thee. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are just were in the storms, the floods, and different avenues of disasters around the world. Lord, just praying that they can find the food, shelter, and clothing that they need, that they may continue on with their lives. And Father, Lord, I want to pray for Brother Doug as he come before us and bring us another part of your word. Just praying, Lord, that he'll bring it in such a way that we can all get our part. And again, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to just thank you for just all the many blessings you stored upon each and every one of us. And praying, Lord, as we go through the rest of part of this service, that you'll just be with us all as we do the things that you would have for us to do. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, number 12. We'll sing this in preparation for the Lord's Supper.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a word as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shine his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man a creature sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are indeed thankful, Father, to be gathered around this table and in your presence with one another in fellowship. We're thankful for this opportunity we have now at this time to take of this bread, Father, that your Son left as a memorial to his body. A reminder, Father, that God did come down in the flesh, that he lived as a man, God in the flesh, yet he remained sinless. He was tempted, just like we are, yet he didn't choose to sin. He didn't give in to those temptations. He resisted the devil and all his devices. Father, we're thankful that he remained pure and he remained holy. That's why he's the perfect sacrifice for the sin of all mankind, but especially for us here now. We're reminded of our personal sin, of the atoning power that came from the sacrifice of Christ. We're not worthy of that sacrifice, Father, but we can partake of it in a worthy manner, remembering his death. And we're glad to be a part and be able to protect this living memorial every week. Help us to remember Jesus, remember his suffering, remember his humanity, remember his sinlessness. As we eat this bread. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Father, as we come to you in prayer, remembering about your Son and on the cross, and the day that he gave his life for us, that we might have an everlasting life in heaven and forgiveness of our sins, we think about the blood that was shed that day and how painful that must have been. Father, we can never thank you enough for sacrificing your own Son for us who wasn't worthy. Mm-hmm. Father, these things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
As a separate part of our worship, we offer back to God a portion of what He's blessed us with. So we'll ask His blessings upon us at this time. Father, we're thankful for the reminder that You are the Creator. You are the giver of all things, Father. All the things that we experience, all the means that we have of providing for ourselves, Father, they really come from You. That's really You providing all those things for us, Father. And we're just stewards and keepers of what You bless us with for a little while. Help us, Father, keep that in perspective as we offer back to You. Help us to recognize, Father, that You are the person from whom all blessings flow, and that we do nothing in and of ourselves, but You lend from your generous hand to us every day. Help us, Father, to offer back a portion of that, and help it to do much good for Your word, for the gospel message, to reach lost souls and to provide for the needy and all the things, Father, that You ask us to do in the name of Jesus. And we offer this in His name at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.